Father God, may there be clarity of thought. Father God, may they see your word clearly. Lord Jesus, and after all is said and done, yet you will receive all glory, honor, and praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. So, first off, I want to talk to you about we're destined to conform. To conform. It's kind of interesting, and the Greek language for the word conform, it comes from the Greek word somorphos. You know, we have the English word, we use metamorphos, and to morph is to be altered, to be changed, there's, and not only in appearance, but even in our character. You know, it's not just our outward appearance that changes in Christ Jesus, but our character changes. All of a sudden, we take on the character of Christ, okay? And we take on the character of his word. With that in mind, look with me in Romans chapter 8. Verse 29, and the word of God says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate or destined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate or destined, them he also called. And whom he has called, them also he justified. And whom he has justified, them also glorified. He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can stand against us?
That's right, amen.
Look at the one next to you and say, God's got my back. I'm called. I'm justified in the name of Jesus. I'm destined to conform to the image of the one that created me. In other words, what happens to our image? You and I were created perfectly in the image of Christ Jesus, but this world has distorted that image. Amen. So look with me in Colossians chapter 3. We want to get our image back. We want to be conformed to the image of Christ. He says in verse number 10 of Colossians 3, the Apostle Paul's writing to the church of Colossae, he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Again, he had put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. In other words, this is the knowledge. Jesus said, God said, he spoke the word and it became. In other words, this word becomes. We become the image of the word of God. The word of God is the glory of God that's revealed to you and I. Amen. So as we're looking at that, as we look at that, he says this in Romans 12. Verse number one, the Apostle Paul said this. It's not just an inward work, but something that's happening inside is to manifest itself on the outside. That's why he said in Romans chapter 12, verse number one, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your good and reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You know, we were created for the good pleasure of God's will. Amen. So in other words, I believe when God says for you and I to do something, we should say, yes, sir, our pleasure. Hello? Because it was his pleasure of his will was to call you and to justify you through the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen? In other words, he wants to conform us to the image of his son through the word. So as we're in the Word, all of a sudden, the Word becomes. Amen? In other words, it's like this. I could have some beautiful, the most gorgeous paint in the world. And I could have a bucket of that paint and a brush. But unless I apply that paint to this wall will never be changed. This Word isn't just to read. We become. We become the Word. And when we become the Word, we walk in the Word. When we walk in the Word, we have authority according to His Word. That's when we can start taking things that belong to us, and all of a sudden the atmosphere around us begins to change because who we are in Christ Jesus. Not because who I am, not because who you are, but who we are in Him. It's His power that's in you and I. Amen? So when I'm looking at that, so first He says, hey, we're destined to conform. We're destined to be transformed into the image of His Son. Amen? And you know what? Don't forget, when I first came to Jesus, I looked like this. I still look like this, probably. Probably a little younger looking. But I look like this. But as the Word becomes, our lives should transform and change. And if our lives are not transforming and changing, we got to go back to the Word. Because if our lives are not transforming, then the Word never became. In other words, just as Jesus said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It became. In other words, it was manifested itself. Amen? And God wants you to know that every last one of us are on a journey and none of us has arrived. Amen? Every last one of us are on a journey. We're in a journey together. Amen? And as this Word becomes, all of a sudden, it's going to have an effect on everything around it. You know, you can impact everything that's around you, or you can let everything that's around you impact you. Hello? It's our choice as children of God. I think it's so important for you and I to have a no-so mentality. Amen? And as we have a no-so mentality, we know that we're called, we know that we're anointed. When the enemy comes down like a flood, we know the Spirit of the Lord will lift the standard against it. We know that all things are working together for the good, for them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. We've been called, amen, we've been called to become the image of His Son. He said He called us to conform to His image. Secondly, it's for His glory. We're destined for glory. Amen. Bear with me one second. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse number 6. The Word of God says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect in Christ Jesus, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. If you turn back a page to, this gives us a little understanding here, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26, he says this, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, nor many noble are called. But God have chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made us unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Then that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In other words, it's not for my glory, it's not for your glory, but it's for his glory. Amen. And his glory is what shines through our life. In other words, he says to you and I in 2 Corinthians, somebody said to me the other day, I've got this famous statement, in other words. So in other words, what he's saying to us is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it's a familiar scripture text. He says, but we all with open face, beholding in as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, as I'm looking at this book and I'm letting it reflect on me, I'm letting this book reflect on me. I'm not going into my bathroom and looking in the mirror at me. I'm looking at this book as a mirror, and I'm seeing this word, and this word is reflecting back on me. And as the word reflects in me and reflects in you, he takes us from glory. It's his glory that's reflected. It's not our glory. It's his glory. And he says to us in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse number 3, he says, according as his divine power have given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. In other words, our body's a sacrifice. It's moral excellence. Amen. As I become. And it's also the power to become. It was his excellence. I'm reflecting and I'm seeing his moral excellence. And as I'm witnessing and I'm learning about his moral excellence, it becomes. The word becomes. Amen. The word manifests itself in our hearts, in our lives. Praise God. And he also says there, whereby are given unto us exceeding and precious promises, great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. In other words, it's his divine power. Amen. And his great and precious promises that are given to us to help us escape. Amen. Hallelujah. So look at me in 2 Timothy 1. Second Timothy 1, verse number 9. The Word of God says, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. He's called us with purpose, for his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In other words, nowhere along the line did Satan do something and God said, oops, now I need to do this. Amen. From the very beginning of creation, God saw you sitting here this very day. God sees what you're going through this very moment, and nothing escapes his attention. Amen? So he says to us that you're not just called for nothing. He's called you with purpose. He's called you with purpose. You know, he says, I know the plans that I have for you, for good and not for evil, to give you hope and expecting end. You have a purpose. God has a plan in your life. The Bible, the Word of God says in Romans 16, verse number 25, the Bible says, "Now to him that has that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." It's not, it's just a faith in obedience. In other words, I have to act upon it. I have to move. I have to allow the Word of God to move me. Amen? Did you like her? Okay. All right. Hallelujah. It was kind of interesting. Jesus was being pressed in Luke chapter 8. He was being pressed with people. And the disciples came to him and said, "Your mom and your brethren are here." And Jesus looked out on the crowd and said, "This is my mother and my brethren. They that hear the word of God and do it." Unless this word, unless this word gets applied, it can't accomplish nothing anywhere. You know, it's just a bunch of noise. Amen? In other words, we've got to allow this word to permeate us. You know, we sit there and say, "Well, Pastor, you know, I can't do this." Well, you can't. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own power. You know, and just praying ain't going to do it. I'm not saying there's something wrong with prayer. Prayer changes things. But it's the Word of God that transforms and changes lives. Amen? You know what? In most households, this is the most unused book in the house. I get home from Sunday from church. Next Sunday, I pick it back up. All right. And this book has every answer for every circumstance, every situation, every problem, every disease, everything that comes against you. The answer is right here. The answer is right here. And the only words the adversary understands is the Word of God. Jesus spoke the Word, and he spoke it, and it became. Amen. We can say to our mountains, by faith, be removed. Get out of my way. God already did it. Jesus said at the cross of Calvary, "It is finished. It is complete. It is done. I'm not going to try to work to make it happen. I'm going to enter into the finished work of Calvary." Amen. In other words, if you've got, you say, "Well, Pastor, I don't understand the word." Well, let me say this to you. If you don't understand the word, get back to the altar. Ask Jesus to come into your heart afresh and anew. Ask him to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Ask him to fill you with the Spirit of God, so the Spirit of God can give you understanding in the Word. Amen? You can't understand it in the natural mind. It's foolishness to man because it's spiritually discerned. Amen? In other words, God wants to reveal everything to you. He doesn't want to hide anything from you. You're his child, and he loves you, and he has a plan and purpose in your life. Amen? And he's given you everything you need. Amen? Well, I don't want to get goofy like those people that are spirit-filled. Well, don't look at people. Look at God. Look at God. God said he wished above all things that we prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. He tells you and I, hey, we can build up our most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God wants you to understand he's given good gifts to men. He's given you everything you need to be successful. We're victors. We're winners. I read the end of the book. We win. Hello? So no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, God says, look at the end of the book. Look at the end of the book. You win the battle. You win the war. You have victory. Hallelujah. Amen. And we have everything to fight the battle right here. That's why Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Amen. Because he was speaking and holding on to the word of God. Amen. So in closing today, the writer of James says in James chapter 2, verse number 26, he says this. He says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You show me your faith, I'll show you my works. In other words, my works is faith working. My works isn't trying to earn salvation. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, he said, for by grace you are saved by faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It isn't the works that saves us, but as a new creation in Christ Jesus, as the word becomes, all of a sudden it starts manifesting in itself around me. I'm not doing this to earn my salvation. It was purchased by Jesus Christ at the cross of salvation. What I'm doing it for is kind of sort of like this. P.S. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, that you've destined me to conform to the image of your Son. Thank you, Lord, that you destined me for your glory. Thank you, Lord, that you destined me with purpose. That it wasn't just something that happened. That there's some great things that God has in store for you and I. The Apostle Paul would say in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the Word of God says, who will have all men to be saved, but it doesn't stop there. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Amen. God has great things in store for you, my friends. God loves you. And let me say something to you. The things that you're going through in your life, most of them God didn't cause. God isn't trying to teach you something through your sickness or your disease or some of the things that happen. We live in a simple world that's full of sickness and disease because we have an adversary. His name is Satan. Our battle isn't with people. Amen. Amen. And I think it's so important for us to understand that God has so great plans for us. Man, I don't know about you, but when I read the Word and I see about heaven and I read about heaven and I get a revelation of heaven and God says to me, I'm a joint heir with Christ. And he says, even though I may suffer with Christ like Christ suffered, I'll also be glorified with him. And that you'll also be glorified with him. Amen. So he says to you and I in his word, he says, hey, my children, don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season you'll reap if you do not faint. He wants you to understand something too. That he that's began a good work in you is faithful to see it through to its completion or to its fruition. You know, God is the author and finisher. He never starts something he doesn't finish. Amen. But you know what, my friends? It starts right here at the cross of Calvary. It starts right here. The Bible says, for Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. He says, how shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him and have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the mountains at the feet of him that publish the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. God wants you to know today, he has some good news for you and I. Amen? That you and I ought to be in a place of rejoicing and giving him praise for all that he's done, that we're being conformed to the image of his Son for his glory, and he's called us with purpose. Amen? Devil, look out. God says when it's time for the church to arise and the enemy to be scattered. The enemy's been arising and the church has been scattered. Hello? Hello? We start looking at people. Well, I don't like the way they looked at me. I don't know what they said. Did you see the way they acted towards me? You don't put a face on something. Amen? Hey, God has great plans in your life. And he ain't going to change his mind. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, I thank you, Father God, for your word. I'm grateful that you sent your word here today to accomplish what you sent it to the house to do.